Welcome to season 4 of Sorting Pin, the California Cattleman podcast. I'm your host, Katie Roberti, and CCA's Director of Communications. Whether you've been listening to this podcast for years or this is the very first episode you've turned on, I'm excited to get to sort through the issues and events impacting California's ranching families and producers again with you this year. Tune in every other Monday for new episodes and follow our brand new Facebook page, Sorting Pin, for more. Welcome back to another episode of Sorting Pin, the California Cattleman podcast. If you missed our last episode, go check it out. It's kind of a new topic for our podcast. We're talking about mental health in rural areas and resources. If you know of someone struggling or you feel alone, there's a whole resources available to you. And we talk about this new program called Rural Minds. So go check that out. And if you haven't yet registered for our Steak and Eggs breakfast to come as a CCA member, definitely do that. I'm sure we still have a little bit of space, but you need to do that immediately because that is coming up in just about 2 weeks. So go check that out. Hopefully today's episode will inspire you to attend. If you've never attended, it's a really great opportunity to kind of see what goes on in Sacramento, meet with your representatives, and talk through some of the issues you're facing locally as well as at the state level. So go do that. Today, though, for this episode, I am at the Capitol Annex with Assemblymember Jim Wood. So welcome to the podcast and thanks so much for taking the time to join me.
Well, thanks for asking. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I know ranchers will be excited to hear from you, especially those from the North Coast. You have a very large district that you cover, which we'll get into, but I want to jump right into it. You were elected 10 years ago to the Assembly to serve the North Coast. And as I was just talking to you about, our Executive Vice President Billy Gatlin says in that time, you've been a very good friend to CCA, which we definitely appreciate. So tell us a little bit about yourself for those of our listeners that don't know you. And just a little bit about how you've been able to connect with CCA and ranchers during that time.
Well, first of all, thanks again for the opportunity. You know, I guess a lot of people don't know this. When I was growing up, my grandfather had a dozen head of Black Angus cattle and down in the Turlock area. And that's where I was born, in Turlock. And that has always been with me. He passed away when I was young, but some of my fondest memories as a kid was being out with him, feeding the cattle, caring for the cattle. And when I moved to the North Coast and when I started running for office, I started connecting with people. I had patients. I'm a dentist by training. I had patients. My practice was in a small rural community. Patients who raised cattle I've always felt a kinship to people in the industry from my early days. And it was kind of a natural for me to continue that as we move forward into my elected career. I guess just knowing that, and I always think about cattle ranchers in particular as kind of being some of the original stewards of the land. And that's really, really important to me. And it's really evident in the communities that I represent on the North Coast.
Yeah, you definitely represent a lot of those communities. Great to hear about your background with your grandparents. I know a lot of people growing up have those experiences from a couple years ago, but not so much now. Everyone's a little bit more disconnected. Even in our office, the people who grew up with their grandparents on ranches really have a strong connection to it as well. You've attended our Steak and Eggs breakfast a couple times, or maybe many times.
Missed one or two.
Yeah, a couple times. I know you've been there consistently since I've been on staff.
Yeah.
So you've definitely made it a priority to be at that event. Why have you made that a priority and what do you get out of going?
Well, I've made it a priority because it's the one opportunity we get to have cattlemen from all over the district there and all over the state.
Yeah.
And it's a day of action. It's an opportunity to share experiences. It's social. It's fun. It's serious, and it's just a really great opportunity to connect with folks. So I'm thankful you do it. It's one of my favorite events of the year. It's about the only breakfast event I know of, and I'm really, really glad you guys do that and looking forward to it coming up.
Definitely the only one where you get a massive steak, I'm sure.
That's for sure.
It is a really fun event, though, for those listening. If you haven't been there, we all just pack into the Sutter Club. We pass out cowboy hats. It's just a fun event, but like you said, we talk about some serious topics.
Well, cowboy hats to the members. Your members come with their own cowboy hats, and they are pretty impressive.
Cowboy hats to the members and staffers, and then we come over and see people wearing them, which is really fun, and we appreciate you attending and everyone taking the time to attend and have those conversations. You probably already understood the mindset a little bit of ranchers growing up feeding cows, like you just said. But what have you learned from meeting with ranchers either at that breakfast or in your district?
Well, I think there's a lot of different cattle type operations. And so I think just the, you know, we have some very large operators, some very small operators, and a bunch in between. And so I think that one of the things that's important for members of this legislature to understand is the breadth of models of ranching. And so I guess I'm most familiar with rangeland and cattle in rangeland and how they move around and the contributions of cattle grazing to wildfire risk reduction, to even carbon sequestration we're finding now based on how cattle are grazed. And so I think it's just trying to impart that there's a lot of different ways of doing business. And sometimes a lot of folks in urban areas get hung up on one model and that they may or may not like and don't look at the breadth of the industry. And I think bringing cattle ranchers together and meeting with legislators is a good opportunity to talk about all of the models that are out there.
Yeah, that's very well said. There's lots of solutions. And mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about wildfire specifically. There's not just one tool that we want to use to mitigate the crisis that California is going through. And you specifically have been instrumental in securing money to help California be more fire resilient. Why did you focus on wildfire out of all the issues that you could have focused on?
Well, you know, when you come to the legislature, you come with a certain mindset of the things that you are in your experience that you want to work on. But I didn't expect the Tubbs fire to happen in 2017. I didn't expect the fires in Redwood Valley and as well up in Mendocino County. And then forward to the August complex and the river complex and all the wildfires that we've had. So after 2017 and the Tubbs fire and really diving into recognizing the risk that we have for wildfire, I teamed up with now Senator Dolly. We pushed then Governor Brown to, you know, like, look, we need money for wildfire resilience here. We affectionately called this, we called it the Dollywood plan. And nobody gave us much chance of being successful because what we wanted to do was to get money from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. Because when you have these big fires, you liberate massive amounts of greenhouse gases. And so where else would you take it from?
Yeah.
You know, and so I got the opportunity to make that pitch to Governor Brown. And he sat there. I remember sitting in his office. He sat there quietly for a couple of minutes. And he said, no, you're right. And I said, well, I appreciate that, Governor. This is what I want. And he says, well, you're not going to get that, but I'll give you a little bit more. And ultimately, that was $200 million a year for 5 years, $1 billion for wildfire resiliency. And it was a really important bipartisan push that I think is paying dividends. And even now, the current administration under Governor Newsom is actually putting more resources out there. I think probably the only people unhappy with me is the Air Resources Board and the folks that wanted money from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund for different projects. But I think this was really important, and it was a really important accomplishment for us.
It sounds like this was probably an important step forward to getting the Newsom administration to be able to fund even more resilience projects. I know they have a whole task force.
They do. And I think when you look at the, you know, look what happened, what's happened subsequently, you had the Camp Fire in 2018, you had Kincade in 2019, and it goes on and on and on. And I've seen Governor Newsom looking at forest land that has been appropriately managed and how he comments on that. So there is that recognition of the value of good management. And I think it's a really important tool. And the important thing for me is that it's low dollar compared to a lot of these big technological things we do to improve our air quality. And it's like, why wouldn't we invest a little to get a big benefit? That doesn't always sit well with our colleagues in big urban areas who have different priorities.
Absolutely, lots of priorities. It's also low dollar compared to fighting multiple fires at the same time.
Right.
And having all that technology.
And the health impacts. Yeah. And the land impacts, because the challenge with these fires is that they're so hot, unlike the fires of old when Native Americans did prescribe, you know, their own prescribed burns, you know, their cultural burns. They did that on a regular basis, and so it was beneficial to the land. But now these fires are so hot that the damage they do is going to take generations to overcome.
Yeah, it's definitely sad.
It's sad.
You've worked on other things, not just fire, in your time. Like you said, you have a background. You're a dentist.
I'm a dentist, yeah.
Originally. So you expanded medical, dental, and mental health care in rural areas, supporting funding for broadband in rural communities. Like we talked about, passing legislation for vegetation management and supporting other wildfire efforts. What are some of the issues that you're working on? Rumor has it this is your last year in the legislature. So what are some of the priorities that you're working on right now in the assembly? Maybe are there any directly impacting ranching or rural communities?
Yeah, I'm continuing. This is my last year. I chose not to run. We have some family challenges that I need to be able to have more flexibility. This job doesn't give us a lot of flexibility. And so I'm stepping away a term early to be able to take care of my family. You know, we are continuing to work on some healthcare priorities that I think are important. The cost of healthcare is just too damn high. And trying to get our arms around how we control the costs a little bit. And also, you know, I've been working for, 2+ years now on a bill to try to help give some relief to small rural hospitals that may be in danger of closing because of the seismic retrofit requirements they have to undergo. And that's something I'm going to continue pushing on this year. I'm pretty frustrated that we haven't been able to get that across the line, but yeah. Often feel like the big city hospitals and the big guys out there care more about the big guys than the rest of us. And so in some of our areas, I think like Trinity County, for example, they've got one hospital. And it's one of these hospitals that's kind of always teetering on the edge. We lose that hospital. You have an entire county that doesn't have a hospital. I know there's probably other counties, and I know there are other counties in the state that don't, but they're major employers, and they're remote, and it's important to people's quality of life. So continue pushing on broadband, very interested in energy, energy infrastructure, as we have our push to kind of divest ourselves of fossil fuels and more of a reliance on green energy. We simply don't have the infrastructure in place to be able to move that around. And so I'm a bit of a thorn in the side of folks in the administration sometimes because I keep asking questions and not getting answers. So I keep asking the questions again. It's important if we're going to try to encourage people to move away and make positive strides towards combating climate change, that we have the infrastructure to do it. And right now, we don't.
Everyone wants to get there, but... Yeah. It's great that you're asking questions.
So, yeah, I mean, put the effort where we need it to be so that we can actually get there. And that's what I keep pushing on.
Those are a lot of big issues that you're working on in your last year.
I don't shy away from big things. I don't shy away from controversial things. I'm not the kind of person who wants a lot of bills so I can have notches in my belt. That's not how I look at things. I came here to try to make change and do positive things, and if I go down in flames, I go down in flames. But I'm not gonna quit. And you know, when I think about our rural communities, I feel like many times I'm one of the lone voices in the wind out there. But I'm starting to see signs of others that are speaking up, and to me, that's really, really important.
Yeah, especially in such a diverse state, I'm sure you feel completely different than your colleagues, maybe in the South. Sometimes, probably two different universes that you're representing almost.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, my district is bigger than 5 states geographically. Even though it's a Democratic district by registration, it's incredibly diverse. And we have from very conservative to very progressive, libertarian, and everything in between. It really is a microcosm of the state. I love the diversity of the district, but it's different. And we don't always get the attention that we deserve. And I always feel like, hey, if we could just have our fair share of resources, I don't want more. I just want our fair share. We could do wonders in districts like mine. We often hear this big sucking sound of all the resources go into large urban areas. And I think that's unfair. And that's one of the things I keep pushing on and fighting on.
They call it the Lost Coast, right? Mm-hmm. Humboldt?
Yeah.
Probably for a reason. If you've never driven there or been there, you don't know how amazing it is until you actually get there.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's really is one of the prettiest places on the planet. But it's isolated in places and small communities. But there's a resilience and a spirit in those communities. And give them a little bit of resources and they can go a long way.
Yeah, their fair share, at least, as you said. So you have all of Humboldt, Del Norte, Mendocino, Trinity, and almost half of Sonoma County. And you just mentioned that it's very diverse, tends to be a little liberal leaning, I would say. How do you approach your colleagues explaining issues? It's very heavy ag. You have dairies, you have rangeland, you have other producers. How do you approach your colleagues on some of these issues that maybe they're not familiar with from rural areas and agriculture backgrounds?
I've spent years building relationships with my colleagues, and I think that's a big part of how you get things done. You develop trust with one another, and then when the time is right, you use your positive relationship with people to push an issue forward. And I think the more people trust you and know that you're an honest broker, that you can be successful. And so I'm selective. It's not every issue I push them on all the time, but they know when I'm coming to them, it's something that's really important to me and my district.
Yeah, that relationship building is something I think ranchers are really good at. Mm-hmm. They're good at having a handshake agreement and building relationships with the ones around them. They can definitely probably relate to that if you're listening. Just a couple more questions before we wrap up here. When we watch the news and we're not in Sacramento, it's hard to know really what is happening and like what the big issues are that's being focused on, what's sucking up a lot of the energy. But right now, it seems like the state's homeless crisis, navigating artificial intelligence and trying to figure out how to regulate that, and ensuring homeowners have access to insurance have been a few of the big issues that have emerged so far this year. Are there any other topics really just sucking up your time or everyone's time in Sacramento right now, or any that you expect on the horizon?
I think you know, obviously homelessness is a big issue. Every city, every county has experience with that. It varies, obviously, and it's really visible here in Sacramento and in some other larger communities. Homeowners insurance and insurance for ag as well is a big, big deal. And I've been working on that. I've been really fortunate with my committee assignments, and part of that's just evolved over time. I sit on the insurance committee. I sit on the utilities and energy committee. I sit on the ag committee. And those are really key to the district that I represent. And the insurance piece has proven to be really, really thorny. We've made some progress. I think there's more that needs to be done. And I keep saying, you know, it's like, we know there's a problem. We just need the state to show urgency to solve the problem. And I wish there was more urgency around it, because I think if we really put our minds to it, we could really push things through faster. But we deal with large bureaucracies. And sometimes I will say the enemy is from within. You know, the leadership of some of these big bureaucracies really want change, but sometimes the resistance is from within. And that's really, really frustrating. So we'll see. And just the high cost of housing.
Yeah.
High cost of energy right now. And I think that's another piece of the puzzle. We've seen energy rates go up, certainly in Northern California. They're up to 30% increase with PG&E energy rates. And what people may not totally understand is that as we move more and more towards green energy, it's going to be more expensive. So there is a trade-off. And I don't think the public is as aware of that, because it's hitting their pocketbooks really hard right now. And what they see is that. And sometimes to see the big picture and understand that we are paying more, we're likely to pay more to make us safer from wildfires as well, is a bitter pill to swallow. Sometimes when price per pound of beef cattle isn't rising, costs for everything else are going up as well. And so I think energy is for the next several years is going to be another one of those big topics.
Probably education and communication on energy as well, because I had a 40% increase in my energy bill. I thought my December bill was two combined.
Yeah.
And my mom said,
when you open the envelope, right?
My mom said, I think you should check that out, because people are complaining on social media. I think that's one bill. So I called the energy company, but they did not explain that. They just said, well, we had a significant rate increase. But I think if people knew that, at least that's a better explanation than just 40%.
Yeah, there's a couple factors that go into it. It's building the new infrastructure that we need. That has to come from somewhere. The wildfire resiliency piece of it, that has to come from somewhere. Those things all factor into rates. And if we want to let ourselves succumb to the ravages of climate change, and that we've seen with some of these massive storms recently, then we can continue down the path we're going. But that's not going to be fair for the next 10 generations ahead of us.
Out of your time in Sacramento, what are you most proud of?
You know, it's funny, I am reflecting more on things that I've worked on, and I kind of come to the conclusion, sort of the body of work I've done around healthcare, affordability and access And it's culminated with working with the Newsom administration on the creation of what we call the Office of Healthcare Affordability, which is now meeting and working to try to figure out targets for healthcare entities to begin to slow the process down. The cost of healthcare has been rising at twice the rate of inflation for years, and it erodes wages, it erodes personal savings, and we have to get our arms around that. Of course, the people who hate it, hate what I'm doing, are hospitals and doctors groups and many others who are, and drug companies who are arguably part of the problem. We wouldn't be there if they could show some ways to be more efficient and more really around efficiency. So anyway, that is, I look at that. But I also, just in general, my work around broadband, I think over the years is really paying off with the middle mile network that the state is building, 10,000 miles of broadband. The largest number of miles for any assembly district is my district. I think it's because of the advocacy. We also have the greatest need, but we've been pushing on that. I think the value for communities that are rural communities, particularly around education, around work, business, around healthcare, will pay huge dividends for everyone. So,
yeah, we saw during COVID the communities that did not have internet
really suffered.
How impacted they were and how impacted the education was for kids. So.
Yeah.
So that's really great. Congratulations on those achievements.
Yeah, keep plugging along. So,
I love California, and I know a lot of people in Sacramento are here because they love California. They come to Sacramento to serve it because they want it to be better for the next generations. What do you think makes California resilient?
It's the people. It's the spirit. I'm a fourth-generation Californian. My son is an eighth-generation Californian. There aren't many of those. I don't know how many there are, but not many. Our roots are really deep in this state.
Yeah.
It is the people, especially those who've been here a long time, that really make California what it is. And when I think of cattle and ranchers, those folks in general have been around for a long time. And I think it's that spirit that makes us resilient, that makes us strong, and that is emblematic of what California can be.
I absolutely agree.
Thank you.
Thank you again for making time to join us. Hopefully, sounds like you're going to be at breakfast in a couple weeks.
I need to know what the date is. I'll make sure it's on my calendar. I'm planning to be there.
We'll see you there. It's March 13th.
All right.
Hopefully, this inspired you to come and meet Assemblymember Wood and whoever else is there, even if you're sitting with a group of staffers. It's a really fun experience just to get to chat with them, hear what their days are like, and share what yours are like as well. And you'll probably find you have more in common than you think. So.
Yeah, don't be shy. Ask us questions and push us. Push us hard because some of my colleagues really need it.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We'll see you then, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. Thanks for listening.